Hey, Illinois State Representative Brandon Phelps is on the other line. First off, Brandon, morning. How are you, pal?
Hey, Tom. Thanks again for having me on. I always enjoy it.
Hey, you know, I was surprised to hear, boom, stopgap measure out of the House approved. Boom, just done like that. That caught me by surprise. I have a feeling I'm not the only one.
Well, Tom, we had been talking about that with some of our working groups about doing something because there's a lot of groups, as you know. No one likes – let me just put it this way. No one likes being on the edge of a cliff looking down. But by doing what we did, we at least didn't have people jump off. And now they can kind of move away from the ledge a little bit more. It gives them a little breathing room. But, Tom, I'll just be honest with you. I don't know how anybody could not have voted for this lifeline budget. People can spin it all they want because it's all about politics right now. You see the governor already up on TV saying it's a duct tape measure. So you know what? We haven't had any real leadership giving us a proposal on what to do to help some of these groups. But, Tom, I mean, we can go through this. I don't know if you're ready. I mean, besides the property tax packages that we did for veterans and seniors for more exemptions, we even got one for a long-time owner-occupant. The longer you're in your house, the more money you're getting back on your taxes for the exemption. But, I mean, Tom, I can go ahead and start on this lifeline. I mean, this was just about $817 million that was sitting in two major accounts for 2 years. The money hasn't been touched. We were hoping for some kind of a budget, but we decided to make that work for people that need it the most.
So my understanding when we say most is social services and higher education. Are those the sole benefits of that measure on the end of last Thursday?
Tom, that's exactly right, because they haven't hardly had any help in the last 2 years. Now, if you remember, K through 12, which we're going to get to that, I'm assuming, because I heard a little bit about you and Matt Donkin today. K through 12, I know we're going to get a budget. We're going to get another probably stopgap. I don't know if it'll be the full year. It may be another full year. There's no way anybody wants kids to stay home, and we need these schools to get operational. And I know there's a big lawsuit, but Tom, this social service and this higher ed lifeline, I mean, it's a lot of programs for the elderly. You know, the Meals on Wheels that I've seen firsthand how much we need that in Southern Illinois. You got a lot of other food programs. You got victims of domestic violence, about 6.6 million.
Good. Can we stop there for a minute, Brandon? The Women's Center in Marion says they're going to close down in 3 months. I talked with the executive director, Kathy McClanahan, last week. She says 3 months, we're done. We're going to start closing down our satellite offices, including the one in Saline County, and start to shrinking those services until we're back into our home office in Carbondale, and then we're going to shut her down because we can't go any further. Are they going to get money out of this pile?
They would get money out of this pile, along with a lot of groups, the independent living centers, Tom, around Illinois, the Developmental Disabilities Act with a bunch of people that use that facilities. They will get money. Breast and cervical cancer screenings are going to get money. Tom, we even put money for the Veterans Grant in there, career education for universities and community colleges. And Tom, and the one program that you've seen firsthand that's been successful here, right here in Illinois in Franklin County, our juvenile detention center, that's going to get money.
Right.
And then, Tom, here's the other thing. There's a lot of people that are police. We talk about blue lives, and we talk about firefighters. If one of the men, one of our brave men and women that got killed on the job, a lot of those widows and widowers were not getting money for people that died on the job. So we put money in there for them. The rape victims are going to get money, mental health programs, addiction services. Tom, I can go on and on, but I know we're brief, and I'm trying to keep it brief, but there's a lot of good things in that bill. And I tell you right now, I was astonished about some of the programs we were not funding because of not having a budget.
Well, Senator Paul Schimpf, after his town hall meeting on April 1, along with Senator Dale Fowler, got his eye opened, I think, by the Women's Center in particular aspect. We're talking about $812 million, is that right?
$817 million, to be
$817 precise. Million. Dollars. Now, here's the item, and I've got a number of people that have asked me about this, and I need your help. In particular, people have been asking me whether Chicago is going to receive of that from that $817 million, $250 million, that there's a strong push to give these Chicago schools $250 million of what they termed as downstate money.
No, Tom, I don't believe that, or I would have never voted for that. I mean, yes, a lot of things based on population. Let's not kid each other. But I mean, as far as schools, there's not going to be a lot of, I mean, with the universities I think you're talking about, there will be some money up there because there's a lot of universities up there, to be honest with you. I mean, the time I'm proud, I mean, I didn't, I talked to the liaison for SIU, John Charles. I even talked to him before this because that's the way I do things when I vote on anything with appropriations. I said, John, SIU, I know, is about to cut $30 million. This is about $30 million going to the good. Should I vote for this? He said, we need everything we can get.
All right, and my understanding is this will only pay back bills. This isn't moving forward. This is about getting rid of backlogs and going back in time and getting caught up.
Well, Tom, I'm sure they're going to use it for that. I mean, because they are, we need to get them up. I think that's why we need, hopefully, you know, this is the start of good things to come. And, Tom, you can say what you want about, you know, the governor saying it's a duct tape budget and all that, but let's go back to the grand bargain. You know the grand bargain. The senator leader of the Republicans and the Senate leader of the Democrats, President Cullerton, got together and had a deal hashed out. Governor found out about it, said no way, brought in Redonio, brought in each individual state senator on the Republican side, and said, we are not going to do this. We are not going to do this. I don't know if the governor really wants a budget or not. That's why we keep spending these lifeline budgets. And Tom, if he vetoes this, I don't know how he could do this. Let me just put it that way.
Right.
And then he's got another big bill coming, Tom, the 124 correctional nurses that got laid off.
Right.
We voted in the House to put them back to work. The Senate did. So now he's getting ready to come on his desk, and he's got to what is it, June 15th, I think, is the date that he has to decide. So he's going to have that bill there for 60 days on his desk. Hopefully he'll pass that so we can see that, that'll be taken off the table as well.
And you've been working on the Hardin County Work Camp legislation, and you found some support for that as well.
Tom, I do. I tell you what, there's an inside baseball. There's a big fight brewing with the building trades and some of the other caucuses, like the Hispanic and Black caucus, about getting some more apprenticeships for them. I heard they may hold some bills hostage on some of the corrections items, and hopefully Hardin County's not going to be one of them, but I'm continuing to work on that, Tom, every day.
And my understanding, in your district, a $37 million expansion for Farrell Hospital, you know, in the healthcare desert, in which is part of your district, that is very good news for extreme southeastern Illinois.
Tom, I was born in El Dorado at Farrell Hospital. I have great memories. A lot of my family still live in El Dorado, and that was there was a little political fight going on, just so you know. I put my name behind that expansion because I believe that every little community needs good health care. I mean, you're not going to ever find an employer going to come to a little area if they don't have health care. There's no doubt about it, and good schools. So I was happy to put my name on that to try to help the city out. Mayor Rocky James did a great job. The Farrell Hospital Board did a great job. There was a little pushback with some of the other surrounding hospitals. I'm not going to lie to you, but I don't know why there needs to be competition. That just helps us all to keep prices down, and there's not should be one monopoly or the other. But I'm happy with Harrisburg. I'm happy with the other hospitals. I don't think there's wrong with having some more availability and accessibility to good health care here in Southern Illinois, Tom.
And when you look at the census and the average age of the occupants and residents of those areas, you understand that there needs to be a plan as that age curve, baby boomers, come into the system as well. You know, John Cullerton out talking in the Senate about the Trust Act, the act in which would stop all Illinois law enforcement agencies from cooperating with the federal government law enforcement agents unless there is a warrant for someone's arrest. This basically creates a sanctuary status state for Illinois. Your thoughts on this piece of legislation?
Yeah, we haven't got that in the House, Tom. I know what you're talking about. I like President Cullerton, get along with him great. I doubt if I'm going to be for that bill. I think our law enforcement know how to do their jobs, and they don't need somebody outside the area, especially telling them what to do and how to run their their squad, so to speak. Or I just don't think I'm going to be for a sanctuary state right now, Tom. It'd have to offer a lot of stuff before I vote for something like that.
Trump signing these executive orders concerning coal. Do you see any benefits in the state of Illinois immediately, long range?
Tom, I do. As you know, I'm very good with the Illinois Coal Association. I'm actually in a lot of meetings right now with some heavy hitters in the coal industry right now. We actually have a deal trying to export some of our Illinois coal to Mexico right now. We're on the bottom floor of negotiations for that. And you want to talk about huge for the economy. I signed a confidential deal, so I can't really talk about the players, but it's there. Peabody, I think, is really trying to make a big comeback. And don't forget, Illinois now has moved into number three of the leading producer of coal in this country. And I think with Trump's deal, remember, I did a resolution, the one we did across the country, going after Obama's carbon rules and his EPA rules, and finally got it out of the House because one of my members of my own party tried to bottle up in committee. I went to the speaker and said, I need this ejected on the floor, and by golly, he did it, and we got it passed. And I always thought those EPA rules and carbon rules were going to kill the coal industry, and it really would have. And I'm happy President Trump did away with them.
Although the word is in the budget, upcoming budget, that the plan is to cut the Delta Region Authority.
It's going to kill us. Larry Woolard was a big proponent of that, as you know. I saw firsthand how much money federally came to Southern Illinois because of those grants. Worked with them every day, very close. Tom, that's going to kill. I'm happy that our congressmen are trying to do something to keep that program going because, very rarely do we get a lot of money back from D.C. for all the taxes we send there.
Yeah.
It's kind of a shame, Tom, to be honest with you.
Hey, before I wrap up today, I want to go back to the beginning. There's a couple of things I thought interesting about our conversation. Is once, I've been calling it stopgap. You've been calling it a lifeline, and I think that's an interesting distinction. We're talking about $817 million that comes from two accounts. What two accounts are those, and how are we able to spend those money? Is it earmarked or?
Yeah, Tom, I can get you the – I know exactly. I'm not at my office. I'm traveling actually to meet a lot of teams today. I'm giving money to a lot of our – because of our schools are struggling. I'm a big promoter of the outdoors. I'm president of the National Sportsman's Caucus now, 48 states, about 3,500 legislators. I'm helping a lot of kids right now with fishing and shooting teams that I want to do to promote the Illinois Sportsman's Caucus. So I'm actually traveling around today and tomorrow to do that. But one of the accounts is that it's a social service account. They've not been used for 2 years, Tom. It's actually, believe it or not, people will probably stroke out when they hear this. It's actual money that has been sitting there to trigger the budget. We just did the legislation to move that money out to the people that need it the most.
So and it was a social services
unused,
account
Tom,
anyway.
Unused money.
It was a social services supposed to be used for social services to begin with.
Exactly, and the other fund was a higher education fund, Tom. And I don't know they named it after somebody, but it's a higher education fund that is going to help the community colleges and our universities. Tom, we got universities all around the state that were going to cancel 3 or 4 days a week of classes. We're going to cancel and cut. Look at SIU, $30 million they were going to cut. Look how many people they're going to be laid off. And, Tom, that's an economic engine for Southern Illinois that we cannot afford to take care of. And we're going to give them almost $30 million of money that is actually theirs. We're finally getting it to them, and they need everything they can get. And that's why I voted for it, because they need it the most.
Northeastern Illinois says they're going to shut down for 3 days. Did you see the story where the CEO of Chicago Public Schools, $20 million, no bid contracts. Everybody wants to send her to prison as quick as they could. They put her in there. They said, we're in money trouble. Save us. And she proceeded to take in kickbacks and bribes to the tune of $20 million in no bid contracts.
Yeah, Tom, that, you know, you can't do that stuff anymore. And that's the thing. I know she wants to take care of her schools, but you got to do it the right way.
Yeah. All right, so what's next when you get back in 2 weeks? Is the countdown on for the lifeline measure, as you mentioned it, for the $817 million higher education social services? Is that where we're really going to be watching? Or is it time to start watching the election and the effect it has on how we conduct business in Springfield now, even though that election's 2 years away?
Tom, it doesn't matter. It's been that way for the last 2 or 3 years. It's all geared towards, I've said this every time I've been on your show, because I am never going to lie to you or the people out there listening. That's the problem with me right now. I'm telling it more like it is, like it should be. And I'm just not going to sugarcoat it. There's politics on both sides of the aisle and it needs to stop. You know, at least we're not doing TV commercials. The governor's already doing TV commercials, for crying out loud. I don't see anything happening when you're constantly getting battered and killed on political items. I'm sure there's going to be more stuff come out on me on Facebook again, like they did early last year again. Everything's geared towards the election. You see all these Democrats already out running right now. Pritzker just threw his name in the ring.
Right.
I mean, it's all geared towards politics. But you can put that aside because we threw a lifeline to the governor with higher ed and social services. Everybody's going to be watching that because, Tom, don't forget, he's big on property taxes. Look how many exemptions we did for the disabled, for the seniors, for our, you know, for our longtime owners. I just don't know how you vote against the exemptions for senior citizens, especially, Tom.
All right. Well, I'll ask him on Wednesday when he's making an appearance Wednesday at 7:20 on the show, and I'll ask him.
Well, and Tom, he said this before about Hardin County. Well, that's their problem. They didn't do it right because, you know, you're right. I'm not trying to be political. Tom, I said on the House floor this week, I don't even want to say Quinn. Put governor in front of Quinn. I punched him in the mouth because he did wrong to Southern Illinois, and I don't want this governor to do wrong for us. But I've offered to work with him, but I have yet to hear back from him.
Illinois State Representative Brandon Phillips. Brandon, thanks so much for your time, pal. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom. See you.